So we are at the Rock and Pot Expo, and I'm sitting down here with the one and only Michael Sweet from the band Striper, and Sweet and Lynch, and my God, man, whatever else you've done. Let's see,
I was with Boston, which is still mind-blowing to me. Crazy.
Yeah, I was telling my wife about that this morning. I was like, you know, I get to interview Michael Sweet today, and she's like, yeah, actually, I know about the Striper stuff. I said, no, but he was like the lead singer in Boston, and she goes, he was? And I said, well, yeah, for a period of time. Yeah, but that is incredible stuff.
Crazy.
So how did that, I mean, I know we're here to talk about the, you know, under Soldier's Command.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about, man.
How did the Boston thing happen?
Well, you know what? Tragically, we all know that Brad passed, and they were going to do what was supposed to be their last show. In August of 2007, they asked me to come out and sing and be a part of it, along with Sammy Hagar, Ann Wilson, Mickey Thomas, all these guys, Godsmack. And a lot of the singers dropped out, and they asked me to sing more. I went out and sang more, and it clicked. After the show, they decided they wanted to continue on. They asked me to join the band, and I joined the band, and we went out and did a tour, Styx opening, 56 City, 2008. Rest is history. Crazy.
Wow, that is insane. So was Striper on hiatus at that time?
Had they been out for a little bit? Striper was not on hiatus, but, you know, I figured out a way to kind of make both work. So I would do Boston, then Striper.
Yeah.
I did a Striper album, then Boston, then Striper. And I figured, since Boston didn't tour very often, every 4 or 5 or 6 years, that I would be able to do that. Then they started touring every year. It became an issue, and Striper's my priority, so I wound up, believe it or not, quitting Boston.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people say that.
No, I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't know if there's anyone, Brad might have quit at one, there weren't really many people over the years that have quit Boston.
Yeah.
I had to.
Yeah.
I mean, my focus was Striper, and I did so, and, you know, I still get that look from people like, what are you, crazy? You know, they asked me the question. But
yep. but I think that's, you know, the Striper material is your material and the other guys in the band, and that's a different marriage, right?
Totally.
So, you know, that is fully owned by you guys, and you know, I think the loyalty to that is extremely important. So
I think it shows my heart a little bit more too, in the sense that it's not about the fame and fortune and money for me. I mean, Boston's playing arenas, we're flying around on jets, or planes, private planes, staying in Ritz-Carltons, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little more upscale.
A little bit. And Striper's playing clubs, and, you know, 12 guys on a bus, and it's certainly more bare bones and a little rougher, but at the same time, that doesn't matter. What matters is, where am I supposed to be? And it wasn't with Boston forever, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is with Striper, at least for now. Now, maybe someday, I might step out and do something else or focus more on my solo efforts, which I would like to. I've got 10 solo albums, the 10th one coming out, October 11th, 10. And I think about that, and I think, wow, I haven't toured since 2001.
Wow.
As a solo artist, I got all these songs.
Yeah.
Sweet and Lynch.
Yeah.
I'd like to go out and perform those songs live. It would be nice.
So who do you get in a band for that then? You get guys here from Nashville area?
I could get guys from Nashville. I could get guys local from my neck of the woods. I got Ethan Brosh, who's local, Mike Kerr as guitar players. You know, get a killer bass player, killer drummer, and keep it local so we can rehearse local. Or I could bring in guys like Joel Hoekstra. You know, who wants to do it. I love Joel.
He's another guy that's busier than hell.
Dude,
I mean, he's got...
That's the thing. Joel's so busy.
He has got so much stuff going on.
And rightfully so, because he's extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
So he should be, and he will be forever, because he's so good. But, you know, when I get to that point, I'll have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'll have to figure it out financially, what works the best, too.
Yeah. Well, last night, for those of you that are listening, last night the Rock and Roll Residency here in Nashville played, and we've seen those guys a couple times.
Yeah, they're great.
They're a phenomenal band, but I'm telling you, you took those guys to a different level. it really was awesome.
Oh, man.
And to hear your voice in front of those guys too,
oh,
you haven't lost a beat, man. And
thanks,
and
brother.
You're not 20.
I'm not 20.
But you sound great. And well, there's a lot of guys that can't say that.
That's very kind of you, man. You know, I've been blessed to retain some of my voice. I don't have the voice I had in 88.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Nobody's going to, right? Yeah. I mean, I've lost some of my range, and I have to choose my battles or just flat out not hit certain notes some nights.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can still sing in that register. We haven't had to tune down yet.
Yeah,
that's great. Still at E-flat, Van Halen tuning. We always have been. And I talk to guys who are down at D and down at, you know, C-sharp.
Yeah.
And God bless them, but we haven't had to do that. Now, maybe we will someday.
Yeah. I recently saw a great 80s band that had tuned down to the point where it was almost unrecognizable.
I've seen that.
And it was just, I'm like, oh, somebody needs to love them enough to say, you just need to stop.
Some songs you can't recognize. They're so low.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tricky because that's what you love and that's what you do for a living.
Sure.
So it's hard to stop if you're still healthy.
Right.
And you can keep going. But, man, sometimes you just got to. You know, have some integrity and just don't go out on a bad note.
Yeah.
Go out on a good note.
Yeah. And, you know, we're all big Kiss fans, and that's kind of where, you know, and Paul has struggled over the last couple of years. And, you know, there are people that, you know, they talked about, you know, he was getting some backup help and some other things like that. You know, and at least for me personally, I just wanted to hear Paul. And if his voice is rough and it's not perfect, it's okay. It's really okay. I would rather hear that than hear them do something to make him better.
I got it. Or some other guy. Singing Paul, who kind of sounds like Paul, but I know. I get it. And I understand. And we struggle with that, too. I mean, we've been criticized for using tracks on a few songs, and we do.
Yeah.
But not lead vocal tracks. We have in the past. But on this tour, we don't do lead vocal tracks. It's just background tracks and some other parts, only on a few songs. And what's really funny about that, I think Eddie Trunk goes on a rant about, you know, how nobody should be using tracks. And it's like, the only thing I could say to Eddie is, well, put together a band and you know, go have all these parts and produce an album. Like Queen used tracks.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
They used tracks on Bohemian Rhapsody back in the 70s to pull that off. You know, it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Especially as you get older. It's very difficult.
Sure.
It's a difficult thing to say, oh, well, you know, we won't use tracks and I can't sing the parts, so we'll just hang it up.
Yeah, and you know, the people coming to the shows want to see you.
Of course.
They want to see you in as much originality as they can get.
Yep.
And they also want to hear that 1985 record.
Totally.
And sometimes you got to go to 1985 to hear that record.
Absolutely.
That's just the way we're at. That's, you know, where people are at in their life.
No doubt about it. And it's funny because if people knew, the fans knew, all the bands that use tracks.
Oh, yeah.
It would probably be 90%.
Yeah.
I would probably safely say about 90%.
Yeah.
If you ever see a drummer with a computer, ever, they're using tracks.
Yeah. Which is about every drummer you can
just see. start looking for that.
Yeah.
You ever see a computer near the drummer, tracks.
Yeah.
Or off of the monitors, any computer on stage.
Yeah.
You can print.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not bashing that. I'm just saying.
No.
But
it's the reality.
It's a lot of bands use tracks. And gosh, man, there's this. Why crucify them for that? As long as they're done right and they're not up there doing the Milli Vanilli thing.
Right.
You know?
As long as they're honest about it and they're open about it and they, you know, there's no issue with it.
Yeah.
So talking about drummers. So your brother is a drummer, right?
Yes.
Robert.
And yes.
So, you know, being in a band as a family.
Yep.
Being in a band with an actual family member,
yeah.
How has that played out over the years? Has that always worked out pretty well? Have there been times where things have been kind of, you know?
It hasn't always worked out well. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know, there's times when my brother makes me crazy and I make him crazy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the thing that always works out is because we're brothers, I think there's a certain level of respect that might be a little bit beyond what you might find if we weren't brothers. And, you know, we can tolerate a little bit more because we are brothers.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, definitely makes sense.
But, I mean, he'll make me nuts, too, you know. It's it just over certain things. And I'm like, Rob, come on. You know, we talk a lot and go at it a lot and stuff, yeah. but we always figure out a way to work it through.
Yeah. So if you had to pick a Stryper album that you could say is, what would be your favorite? I mean, the one that really for you stands out is the material on that record is really, really the epitome of the band.
Wow.
And is there one record or...
I don't know if I could pick one.
Yeah.
I could pick two.
Okay.
One being a classic. And everyone's probably going to expect me to say To Hell with the Devil. It would be Soldiers Under Command.
Yeah, it's a good record.
Because it's very raw, and it represents the band in a very real way. Okay, not slick. That's the band, man.
Yeah.
If you came and saw us live back then, that's exactly what we would have sounded like. So I love that album. And then a new album would be a toss-up between maybe Fallen and Goddamn Evil.
Yeah.
Those are tied.
Yeah. I think I like Fallen a little bit better. But
yeah.
it just had a little bit different edge to it, I think.
It did.
But I like them both.
Sonically, Fallen has a little more meat to it, but yeah. I think I like the songs, the flow of Goddamn Evil better.
Yeah.
There's a better flow to it, like Sorry and even Goddamn Evil. I love You Don't Even Know Me, The Valley. There's just a certain really nice flow to it.
Yeah.
That's good. I love.
So do you... So when you're creating a record or making a record and after you've written and stuff like that, do you sit those out and try to figure out how the flow of the record's going to be? Or is that, as
nope.
you're recording it in the end, you're just like, this needs to go here? And
I've always
wondered how that works. You know,
different in the past. Okay. I used to spend more time thinking about it. Now I go in a room. I set up my computer. I got a drum program in there, Easy Drummer. I love it. The best drum program you can use, period. And I set up my little amp on my iPad, and I sit in the room. She goes to work, and I go in there, and she comes home, and I've got a song, and I play it for her.
Wow.
And she goes, wow, I like that. Day two, same thing. And after 12 days, I got 12 songs. I don't sit and weed through songs. Like, I don't have come up with 20 or 30 songs and pick the 10 best. I think that's a waste of energy, a waste of time. You either know what's good or you don't.
Yeah.
Go with what you feel. Don't go with what you don't feel. And it's really been working for me that way lately. I've done the past, like, 8 albums that way. Solo, Sweet Land, Stryper.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
It's a formula that works for you.
It works for me.
It works very, very well.
And so far, thank the Lord above, the well hasn't dried up. Hopefully it's not drying up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really would like to put out another, over the next 20 years, another 12 albums.
Wow. So you're putting out something about once a year now, right? Between the various...
Yeah. I put out a solo album 1 year, Stryper album the next. Sweet and Lynch album the next year, solo album the next. Stryper the next, you know, that kind of thing. It's an album every year.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing that I like about the Sweet and Lynch stuff is George is such an amazing player.
Oh,
thanks, dude. And just the two of you together, is there something really kind of really cool? Is there anybody that you would really like to work with that you haven't had the opportunity to work with?
Oh, man, so many people. I mean, I really respect, obviously, everybody knows I love Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen. You know, that's a pipe dream, you know, because he's untouchable for the most part. But yet, at the same time, you never know.
Yeah.
Because I would have said that about Boston in 2005, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden...
So what would have happened if instead of them hiring Sammy Hagar... They would have came to Michael Sweet and said,
"Dude, I don't know."
Wow, that's
it would have been interesting.
Wow.
I mean, I the thing is about the Van Halen stuff is I'm a fan of it, and I love it, and it's such a part of my musical makeup that I think I would do it justice in a different way.
Yeah,
I could sing the Sammy era stuff, or at least you know, for the most part.
Yeah,
I've got a higher range than Roth.
Yeah,
and I could sing the Roth stuff.
Yeah.
Too, for the most part, because I grew up on that, on all those songs.
Yep.
And it'd be fun. But you know what? Hey, I don't know if they're going to tour anymore. I don't know if they're going out with Roth or Sammy or whatnot. But there's a little hope for a guy like Michael Sweet because they took Gary Cherone on.
Yeah, they did.
So then that means there's hope for me.
Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah, it's... So... Have you always lived in Nashville?
I don't live in Nashville.
Oh, you don't live in Nashville.
No,
okay.
I grew up in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I moved to Boston in 1995. I've been there ever since. Outside
okay.
of Boston, in
oh, okay.
Plymouth, Mass.
Okay. All right. I thought you lived here.
I don't.
And the reason I asked that question is because over the last couple of years, as we've been coming to the podcast, this is our third year.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many rock guys live in Nashville.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Everybody.
And
not to sound like a jerk, but that's the reason why I don't live in Nashville.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Because, I mean, I'm one of those guys, I'm built this way, that I tend to swim the opposite direction.
Yeah, Boston's not someplace I would have, not be someplace I would have picked. If you said yes, I'd have liked that.
And when I moved in 95, I had everyone telling me, move to Nashville, and everybody was. But that's all the more reason why I didn't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Want to. I just like being kind of in a different place, doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Being in Boston is like, you know, I'm away from it all.
Yeah.
I feel I can focus better and do it better than if I lived in Nashville.
Yeah. Okay, one last question for you, because I know you probably got 1,000 things to do today. I listen to a lot of Christian music and Christian metal, some Christian metal. So bands like Red, some of those bands. Do you listen to any of those bands? Are you connected at all?
I listen to some Christian bands, a few of them being, I love Kevin Max. I listen to Kevin's music because I love him as a singer, and I think he's a very creative guy. I also love Pray for Rain. Remember Pray for Rain?
Yeah.
Because I'm a big Beatles guy.
Yeah.
I never got into Red.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
They're more.
They never did it for me.
Yeah.
Just don't do it for me. I love POD.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
When POD first came on the scene, I'm like, all right, now we're talking.
Yeah.
To me, that's a great band.
Yeah.
Very original. They have their own thing.
Yep.
I don't like bands that kind of sound cookie cutter like 100 other bands.
Yeah.
It doesn't do it for me. Who else? POD was one. I liked Switchfoot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. I've seen them a couple times.
They were very different.
Yep.
I love their songwriting. But yeah. So, but believe it or not, I don't listen to a lot of Christian music.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's in my repertoire of stuff.
Yeah,
I don't listen to a lot of,
you
know, I kind of go through phases, but at least for me personally, you know, it does kind of, at times, it helps kind of refocus
for
me. And the Striper music is very much into that. I mean,
man.
You know, it's for me, we talk about, music and for you as an artist, I'm sure, it's all about emotion.
Oh, of
what does
course.
It trigger?
Yeah.
What does it take you back to?
Totally.
And how does it help you through, you know, something, whatever that thing might be.
No doubt, man.
But, you know, I think, you know, I hope artists like you really understand that those of us listening, that gets us to different points. And it really does put a pinpoint on different parts of our lives.
Absolutely. And that's a beautiful thing about music. It's different for everybody.
Yeah.
And I mean, and something might touch you, it doesn't touch me, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of it. Excuse me. That's the beauty of it all. I love it.
Great.
I love how music affects people in different ways.
Yeah. Michael, I really appreciate you sitting down with me today.
Thanks, brother.
And it's been a highlight of
thank you, man.
Highlight for at least this weekend for sure and for a very long time.
I had a joy doing it, man. A blast doing it. And thank you for having me on.
Yep. I appreciate it.
And taking the time to talk to me.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
Before you go, let everyone know how they can find you on social media.
Oh, gosh. Social media. I've got Instagram. I've got Twitter. Facebook. And just you do a search for Michael Sweet, and I'm going to pop up. I've got a website, michaelsweet.com, obviously. But I'm all over social media. I'm always going in every day and doing, you know, posting and commenting. And I'm very active on social media. So
great. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, dude. God bless, man.